Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported in 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
At DSW, we ask the important questions. Like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
I'm not cleaning up the Zach LaVine talk because James is here.
Well, I'll say even to that, when you talk about like the starting lineup and I understand not having time, but my approach to situations like that, like you said, is James Hamm of the Insiders and the King's Beat joins us here on D-Lo and KC, is like you can't always just change stuff and get better. Sometimes you got to look in the mirror. And you've got to be better.
You fired your coaching, got better.
That's true. That's true. Right, but even
I hear you.
But even then, like until like some things were just kind of clear that we were hearing, like even then, my thought wasn't like somebody got to be fired.
Yeah.
Like you guys just got to be better.
Wasn't telling Indiana.
You have to prove to yourself that you're better than who you are, and that's what I look like with this starting lineup, like. Can the starting lineup and changing, putting Keon in there, work and help this team out? Sure, I'm not opposed to that. If they start Keon tonight and they win and they go on, that's great. But Zach LaVine or anybody else, they can't continue to play how they've played, regardless of where they're at in the lineup, and get better. Mm-hmm. Like that overrides making changes to me. Is you have to play better. You have to play better. And that's more so where my focus is as opposed to changing things up. Change the way you perform. That's the biggest change that's needed.
And like to your point, Kenny, it doesn't matter how many times you change the lineup or anything else. It's still the same group of eight dudes playing. Like if they don't play well together, they don't play well together. And I think that there is a way to like, you know, mix things up and kind of change the dynamic on the floor. Give yourself a better chance offensively to be successful by taking away like some of the options and going with players who maybe don't do more. They do less. And that's where I think the Keon Ellis conversation really does come in. Not only does he help you on the defensive end, we all know that he's a better defender than almost anybody on this team, but on the offensive end, by having a set shooter who just does his role and moves around, that's something that it looks like would help this team by simplifying things with the starting lineup. Now, but the point is, it's still going to be the same, you know, 8, 9, 10 guys that are on the court. And if they can't figure out how to play a productive brand of basketball, it doesn't matter who's starting or who's finishing the game or who's playing what minutes together. Like, you're just going to lose. And so you're right. You have to play better. And I know, like, part of this is they don't have time to grow together. And part of it is, you know, it's like this entire season has been chaos. It's been, you know, negativity and chaos. It's been players, coaches losing their jobs and, you know, players wanting out and all that stuff. I mean, it's just been like a nightmare of a season, but you still have a shot. And it's your job as a player who's making millions of dollars to go out there and perform and not put a bad product on the floor. And I think that's what angers Doug Christie more than anything else, just embarrassing yourself in front of your home crowd and not playing hard enough, not playing the type of basketball that fans in Sacramento deserve.
You ever see Doug as angry as he was on Friday night before?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's that video in 2000, you know, two or three.
He didn't even look angry when he did it. He looked perfectly calm. He looked completely calm when he punched that man in the face.
Yeah, I think he is a really, really intense dude when he wants to be, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I think what we saw after the game, you know, to be honest, we all knew something had happened. We were just sitting in the media room for like almost an hour or more
before Doug
came in.
Wow, I didn't realize
yeah,
it
we
was
were
that
just
long.
Sitting there. Oh, yeah, it was forever. So I was talking to Kyle about this earlier, and I even text Kyle while we were sitting there. We had gone like maybe 30 or 40 minutes with no one coming in. And then, you know, media relations came in and said, hey, the locker room's open if you guys want to go in the locker room. So we waited a minute. It was like, well, we're getting Malik and we're supposed to get DeMar and then we're going to get Doug. And we're sitting there. And finally, me and Brendan got up and we went around to the locker room, which takes a long time to get to. I mean, it's not like just a 2-second walk. Mm-hmm. So we walked to the locker room. We got to the locker room and Sean was there. So it's like I joked at one point we should just have a Kings Beat podcast right now, like in the locker room, because it's just the three of us. And while we're sitting there, DeMar and Domas and Zach LaVine come in the locker room. It's like, okay, that's weird. Why are you three coming in the locker room this late? Because at this point, we're approaching like an hour, 45 minutes. So I'm like, okay, that's weird. And they say, oh, hey, Malik is going to the podium right now to go talk. So if you want Malik, you got to go back to the media room. So me and Brennan took off to go back to the media room. By the time we got to the media room, Malik was done. And we're like, okay, should we go back to the locker room? But by that point, it's like, well, Doug should be here anytime. And then Doug didn't come in. And so it was well over an hour after the game, Doug finally came in. It was clearly like not happy at all. And those are moments where like the right questions, we didn't know what was going on, but we're like peppering him with stuff that might make sense. And, you know, like I asked him, like, why are you guys not running any of your play sets? Why are you not running, you know, DHOs? Why are you not running two-man game with Malik and Domas? And he was very honest. He's like, they're all those plays are still there for them. They're just not running them. I don't know what to tell. Like, that's what he's telling us. He's like, look, they're just not getting into anything. And they all look lost on the court. And I don't know what it is, how they fix that. I do, like I said this earlier with my partner, Kyle, I said, like, I'm watching a game where, you know, Malik goes to like bring the ball up the court and Zach is standing in his spot. So he likes to come up. He likes to go to the right and get into the two-man game with Domantas. And he tries to come up and Zach is standing on the right side. So I looked it up. I'm like, well, maybe it's possible Zach only likes to shoot from that side. And no. Like, his shot chart from the entire season, the last five seasons, looks like someone took a shotgun to it, but he shoots from all around the perimeter. So it really is, sometimes it's just about directing traffic and saying, hey, man, clear out, go to the other side. What are you doing? And as soon as that happens, you know, Domas would come up, set the screen, they get in the two-man in the pick-and-roll action and move to the basket. Well, that doesn't happen. And instead, Domas comes to the left, and tries to set the screen for Malik going the complete opposite way that they ever do it, and they turn the ball over. And you're like, okay, this just doesn't look like the same group of people, that, and they look like they don't know how to play basketball. So it's really like a weird Space Jam moment where it's like somebody like just took the basketball players right out of their souls for minutes on the court, and that's why you have things like 24 turnovers.
And to be honest with you, I mean, like I said, it's going to come off as I'm this super Zach defender or whatever, but that's not on Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine is in a new place. And if we're just playing basketball, and if DeMar DeRozan's on the left side, well, I'm going to go to the right. Like, that's just common. If the other wing player is over there on the left side, I'm not going to run, you know, on his side and clog that side. I'm spreading the floor. I'm balancing it out. I'm going to go to the right. That's just what I'm going to do before I know anything. Somebody that knows what we're supposed to do around here, whether it's the coach, whether it's the center that's an All-NBA player, whether it's the guy that's supposed to be a point guard, is this someone that's supposed to tell me, no, we're going to run this on this side, clear through, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, that's one of those moments where Domas should walk right up behind Zach, tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, go to the other side. I mean, Doug said, he's like, there was a play where we have four guys on one side of the court. He's like, what are we doing? Like, there is not a single play in our book where four guys are on one side of the court. He's like, that's just not, we don't have that in the playbook. So what are you guys doing? And even, I know there's, like, we got this on the Insiders earlier where people are like, oh, the Jake LaRavia honeymoon is over. Like, I didn't think Jake LaRavia did anything wrong. Like, there was a play where Jake LaRavia got the ball at the top of the key, and there were two guys on each side, but both on all four of the guys were beyond the three-point arc. And then they all stood there. And Jake starts dribbling like, I don't know what to do. So he tries to break into the free throw line. And then he turns around, and they're all still standing there. And so he's just, like, panicked. Like, what do I do with the ball now? I'm just sitting here dribbling in the middle of the floor like I don't know what I'm doing. And everyone just stood there and watched until they eventually took the ball from him. And that's just where, like, they just need to – they need practice time. But also, those are moments where somebody just needs to stand up and be a leader and say, okay, like, let's take charge here. Let's, you know, whether it's on the court, whether it's off the court, whether it's during a timeout. But I'll tell you, I've never seen anything like this before. We were in the mid-third quarter. Doug Christie called his timeout. He had one timeout left in the game. And I was like, holy cow. Sean looks up and goes, hey, that was their sixth timeout. They've got one timeout left. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, you're done now. Like, there's no way to even make adjustments. And so, like, we're saying, like, well, who's telling them what to do or whatever? Doug had continuously called timeouts, pulled the group over and said, like, what are we doing? And tried to restart, but they just seem to be lost. And I don't think it's them, like, tuning anybody out or anything else. I just think that they are in their own heads a lot right now and just kind of lost as a team.
Mm-hmm. It sounded like him, or there was a lot of, and this might be a Doug Christie line, or it might have been a DeMar line, but a tough love in the two practices this weekend. In your conversations with the guys after practice, what do you think that means? Like, what do you think was the focus of practice these last 2 days after that beat down by the Warriors?
I think part of it is because we kind of got this from Doug the night before and then Doug the next day. Like the individual accolades need to stop. The wanting to score, wanting to do what, like, that needs to stop. Like, you need to do what's best for the team at all times. And that's, you know, it's not an easy thing because, again, you have a group of players that are mostly offensive players. But if they don't play together, then it doesn't matter. And, you know, I think the other big thing that Doug really, really cemented, you know, he said something to the effect, you have to protect the ball like you would protect your child. He's like, and we're just not doing that. He also said, you have to play like it's your last breath or something. And he's just like, this is not who we are. There's even a moment late in his press conference on Friday night when Brendan asked him a question and he asked Brendan right in the middle of it. He said, were you here? Mm-hmm. Are you old enough to when I played here?
It was something about the Warriors fans in the arena. I remember that question very, I think it was the last question of the scrum. And like, it was something about like Warriors fans being in the arena.
Yeah. And Doug was very clear. Like, we didn't do that when I was here. This is not how we performed. You know, you can say a lot of things about that team, but the one thing you can say is that we represented the city. We represented our home court. We played for our fans in a way that is not what you saw tonight. What he said, whatever you saw, that's not it. And I thought it was a really interesting moment. So he was hot, but it wasn't like he had like lost his cool. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, like 15 years covering this team, I've never seen a starters only minute meeting. Mm-hmm. Like this was a, like you've had players only meetings, you've had coaches meetings, you've had team meetings, you've had all types of different meetings. I've never heard of a coach pulling five starters aside and saying, hey, look, like this is on you guys. Like you need to figure this out because the other guys are here to support you. That's all of the other players on this roster are support pieces. Like Jonas Valanciunas, very nice player. He's a support person. He's a role player in the NBA. Laravia, role player. Trey Lyles, role player. Keon Ellis, role player. Like it doesn't matter whether they're high end or low end role players, they're all role players, right? So it does have to start with the five guys that are on the court. So, but you just don't usually see a coach single out the group that is, you know, because one thing to call De'Aaron Fox out when he, you know, cost you the game against Detroit, which is what Mike Brown chose to do. It's a whole other thing to call out like five individual players and like, hey, all of you guys, you're coming with me into the principal's office.
Well, it's one of those things like we talk about, and I understand it. We talk about like my approach to stuff. Like it's not about changing things. Like we, you know, settle down. We'll figure this out. There is also a side of me. Feel like Doug has it. A lot of people, you know, have this. But I'm gonna talk to those guys. Hey, let's go. Like let's go. Like it feels like there's no sense of urgency. No, there's urgency. I'm not going to take this guy and this guy out of this lineup, but I'm looking at you right now. Let's go. What are you doing? Stop tiptoeing around here. Zach LaVine, if you're a 25-point-per-game shooter, shoot the damn ball. Let's go. And I think that's a lot of what was going on in meetings, in practice over there, is let's go. Like stop all this. Let's stop all this footing around. Let's go.
Oh, you're about to use a bad word right there. Man. Oh, Casey, this fictitious KC fired up.
But that's more so what it's about. It's about, like, I'm not really in, like, changing this, changing that. But I will, before I do that, at the very least, I'll say that. Before I change anything around, I'm going to tell you, hey, let's pick this up. Let's pick it up.
Maybe
you
that's
guys
what I said the other
up.
Night.
Pick it up.
Yeah, I find it interesting too. Zebra PT asked,
"Shout out Zebra,
who leaked it?" I don't know who leaked it. I don't know if that was the team doing that. I don't know if it was a specific player who leaked to Chris Haynes that there was a meeting. But when I went back and watched the clip from Friday night afterwards, it was right there in front of us. We just didn't know, you know, because that's not something you. Like, did you just hold a
a starters
five
only
person
meeting?
a starters jacket only meeting in the coach's office? Like, we didn't know, but if you go back and watch it later, it makes more sense with the context that they had a meeting. But like, look, that doesn't really matter at the end of the day if they decide to leak it or not, because then. The focus of this weekend became exactly that there was a meeting and it went away from the fact that their in-state rival, the former, you know, their owner is a former owner of that team. You know, like all of the ties between the Warriors and Kings, it went away from the fact that you just got your butt kicked by your rival. And it very much got focused on the fact that there was this weird meeting. And, you know, that's we only got DeMar on Saturday, and DeMar, and we got Doug. And then on Sunday, I think it was Keon. I didn't go on Sunday, but it was Keon and someone else.
I think it was it Zach? Zach either spoke yesterday or today. I'm not sure which one, but
I think Zach was yesterday. Shoot around today while I was on the show. Well, no, I think Zach did speak today at shoot around.
Okay,
and so did Jonas. I'm not sure who else spoke yesterday. Either way, I mean, like, it's really tough to get to the bottom, especially if you ask Keon questions. Keon's like, well, I wasn't in the room. Like, I ain't the one doing a bunch of weird stuff. You know, like, I mean, he didn't say that, but that's kind of like, it's always tough. You know, like, I've been around this team long enough, and we had that weird moment years ago where Rajon Rondo decided to say something horribly offensive to Bill Kennedy during a game in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I mean, not Oklahoma, in Mexico City. Mm-hmm. They played the game in Mexico City at Aztec Stadium or wherever, and they came back, and the news had broke that Bill Kennedy had, you know, that Rondo had said some things very inappropriate to Bill Kennedy. And Caron Butler came out and talked to us instead of Rondo. That was it. And it was like, well, I didn't say anything. It's like, well, why are you standing up here? And then it became like a veteran moment where it was weird that another veteran was covering for another veteran, you know, a veteran was covering for another veteran who had done something stupid. So yeah, there's always these weird things that happen here, you know, 40-point blowout losses, and they send up a two-way player. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that got Keon pretty well conditioned. Like, he's very good in front of the mic. So that was great practice for Keon Ellis, because he's...
Yeah.
I really enjoy when Keon talks, because he just gives you answers, and I always appreciate that about him. With that said, Hammer, you know, the scrutiny will be a little greater now, because I think there'll be, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I think there'll be a feeling of, well, if this didn't work, like, if they lose to Charlotte tonight, you know, you lose, that's your third straight. You also lose to a bad basketball team, or a team that's at least worse than you, and you're like, well, you pulled a starters only meeting card, you know, you've pulled all of these different, like, you're running out of cards to play here. And I think there'll be a big, I think there'll be a really frustrated fan base, Hammer, if this team doesn't play well tonight.
No, I would agree with you, especially they've had four practices in the last 5 days. You know, this is, so you want to, like, again, there are reasons why this team looks weird, but they're also, at a certain point, those reasons become excuses. And, you know, if one of the reasons why you don't look good as a team is because you had no time to practice before the All-Star break and you were all thrown in together into this weird situation with your best player being traded and, you know, really resetting everything on the fly and two additional trades that brought in other pieces. Like, there's a lot going on. Like, now you're kind of past that. Like, you had the 4 days to practice. You got back to basics. One day they worked offense. One day they worked defense. You know, they are really trying to focus on figuring out how to fix the offense, because that's leading to all this transition basketball and all of those points off of turnovers and all that stuff. But if they don't play well tonight, then I would expect a completely different starting lineup on Wednesday. If that's what we see tonight, because you're right. If you do this meeting and you have conversations, and you don't want to say it, but I'll say it, like, the Hornets are a horrible basketball team. I mean, the Kings aren't good, right? We can all acknowledge that the Kings are a 500 basketball team. They are mediocre. They're middle of the pack. Well, not even say middle of the pack. They're literally 28-28 on the season. This team coming in tonight has 14 wins. They have half as many wins as you, and you're not good. So, yeah, this is a horrible basketball team. If you lose to this game and then you walk into the Utah game and you don't play well against Utah, then it's all kinds of chaos here. And that's just because that's, you know, your season changes. The strength of schedule only gets worse after these next two games. And, you know, these are the gimmies in the schedule. And after this, it gets more difficult. And so you have to get right with this game. And even if you do, you've got to not just get right, but you have to start looking right. It can't just be, oh, they escaped with a 3-point win. That was like a week ago, 2 weeks ago, when that was okay, when you're playing three games in four nights. This is one of the worst teams in basketball. You need to go out and blow this team out. They just lost by, what, 53 to Portland? And Portland's not great. So, yeah, it's a tough situation to be in, but I would expect lineup changes if something doesn't change tonight.
I agree. I mean, you talk about – you laid it out perfectly, Am. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to you about waking up. Consider that your last warning.
Mm.
Like, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to show you this certain respect to have a conversation with you and let you know, hey, wake up. Because if you don't wake up, changes will need to be made.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. And I think that's definitely in line if they lose. I don't know. I know a lot of that. Ham said, you know, they should blow him out. Some people in the chat were saying, if it's close, I'm going to be frustrated for real. If they win by four tonight, changes aren't happening on Wednesday. Like, you just win the game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the thought of this being, you know, a team that's looking to find a rhythm together, or they haven't practiced or anything, that's no excuse for 24 turnovers. Like, if we all get together and play pickup basketball, we shouldn't be turning the ball over 24 times. Take care of the basketball. You know, take mm-hmm. care of the basketball. Doug says, treat it like it's your child. I remember Chad Johnson, different sport. But he said, don't drop the baby, as mm-hmm. we talk about with mm-hmm. the football. Mm-hmm. Don't drop the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of the basketball. That's one way automatically to kind of help you with an opportunity to improve as a team, is if you don't just give the other team opportunities and take opportunities away from yourself. So, yeah, that would be first and foremost after what I saw on Friday. That's the first thing. Like, let's not just toss the ball around. Take care of the basketball.
Yeah, in their last seven games, they're 30th in turnovers and turnover percentage, and they're 29th in assist to turnover ratio. I mean, it's just not good. Like, and that's part of it. But I'll also tell you this: like, the one game that they turned the ball over like 11 times, which was good, it was the game where they had turned it over.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday. So shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift top storage, best selling bedrooms with over 700 5-star reviews, and a feature packed pop up sleeper sofa with built in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com. Where America shops for furniture.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or?
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW,
Let us surprise you.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
10 times in the first half. I think it was 8 or 9 times in the first quarter. Doug called a timeout, yelled at them. They came out and they stopped turning the ball over. So it's possible for them to stop doing like the basics, to just get into your normal sets. Don't try to do anything crazy. Be where you're supposed to be on the court. And, you know, like, understand that like this is, it's not a very difficult game. They're making it more difficult on themselves by just not getting in any kind of flow. And, you know, even like the one bad turnover that we were talking about earlier, the DeMontis Sabonis tried to feed DeRozan on the baseline and he stopped and the ball went right out of bounds. It's like, man, you two have been playing together for 55 games or something, 60 games. Nobody, you guys haven't missed a game. I think Domas has missed one game, right? Like
one or two. Both of them missed like one or two.
Yeah, like how exactly are you like not on the same page? You two at least have been here, and it's a very specific isolation play where he's making a move, you're making a move. Like, just you have to be in sync with those players. And the same thing with the Monk and Sabonis play that I talked about earlier. I think they did it twice. They like did the pick and roll from the left side, and I was like, what are you doing? Like, it's the most beautiful play you have, because Monk loves to do like the high dribble with his right hand and just drop these dimes right to Demonis's left hand going to the basket, where he goes right up with it and lays the ball in. Why would you switch up and go to the other side of the court? That just, you know, again, you're not playing to your own strengths, and it doesn't make any sense. But you back out the play and you start looking, and people are all in the wrong position all over the place, and you're just making life extremely difficult on yourself.
Okay, well, we're going to come back. We'll try to make life easier on Sacramento Kings fans, and we'll do that for a few more minutes with James Hamm before we get him in his nice sweater and send him off to the Golden One Center to cover the Kings and the Hornets tonight. So we'll be back with our insider from the insiders. It's James Hamm here with D1KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, we're back here. James and his terrible soda taste.
Yeah, hating on Shasta. Come on.
No, I think he's right about Shasta.
Well, no.
I'm about tired of both of you hating on my club soda.
Well, I mean, I didn't. First of all, I didn't say anything. Second of all, club soda is trash.
You lit. All right, man.
This is like the seventh time Dame's been tired of us in like the last week and a half.
The brown truck will be pulling up soon.
It's going to be D-Lo in the morning. You're finally going to get the Kenny Caraway show.
Casey and Friends coming soon.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I'm going to be the lead into the insiders. Just going to be me and Justin Case sitting here at 6 a.m.
Justin Case. Shout out Justin Case.
Me and Gavin.
Oh, man. Gavin with Eagles Minute every morning.
Gavin, get out of my studio. Gavin wouldn't step in here. Gavin hates my guts. It's the funniest freaking thing in the world. That man hates my guts. It's so funny.
Is this a shoot or a work?
No, this is a shoot. Gavin actually hates me. It's amazing.
I don't guess you is.
That man hates me. You know who we haven't talked about? Markelle Fultz. We haven't talked at all about Markelle Fultz. Hammer, let's start with, what did you think of his minutes the other day? And is this something, like, do you think his role could actually pick up here with Sacramento?
You know, Doug was clear to say after the game, because he's asked about Markelle Fultz. Mm-hmm. He said very specifically, yeah, I was super impressed with what he did, but I don't know, you know, what that means. Like, and I would say the same exact thing. It's just going to be really tough to get him minutes. Mm. And I think everybody sees that this team needs a true point guard. And Markelle Fultz can play that role a little bit, although he's still more of a scoring guard than he is a true point guard. And, you know, if they go 10 deep in a rotation, then I think we're going to get Fultz. If they don't, if they go 9 deep, then he'll be the last guy out of the rotation. And he's just kind of on the bubble there. And it's tough because you got a bunch of heavy minute players. And if they're not living up to their expectations, then yeah, there's going to become more and more minutes available. But I certainly think for right now, I would like to see a world in which maybe Zach LaVine isn't the primary ball handler off the bench with the second unit, because that second unit has struggled all year long and they've moved pieces around and stuff, but it doesn't change the fact that if they don't have like a true leader who's like a distributor in that group, it becomes like the same thing that we've seen, you know, a bunch of guys like who are waiting for someone to pass them the ball to get their shot. So I think Fultz, like, again, he had the big dunk. That was impressive. His takes to the basket were impressive. He hides the fact that he's limited as a shooter by like pushing the tempo and just getting to the rim. And that's a good way to sort of get around the issue that he's just not a very good 3-point shooter.
How'd you feel about his play on Friday though? Like, were you like, if he gave you that every time he stepped onto the floor, would that be good enough for you? Or do you want to see a little bit more? Maybe obviously cut the turnovers down a little bit, but what'd you think about how he played on Friday?
Well, yeah, for a guy who hasn't played in 9 months, I thought he played really well. Like, really. I was super impressed with his play on the court. Now, I don't know what that translates to. And, you know, he got loose with the handles late in the game. But, you know, just like three-point shooting and just like free throw shooting, I think turnovers are sort of like when one person catches it, they all catch it. It becomes a trend in a game more than anything else. And So I'm not going to really fault a guy who hasn't been on the court forever and who has never played with the players around him if he turned the ball over three times late in a game that didn't matter. At that point, the game was out of control and stuff. So I think as a player, he's intriguing, and he's still only 26 years old. You know, like, you'd like to see where he looks like if he could get more time and, you know, sort of get settled somewhere and figure out who he is and what he is as a player and like in a rotation.
Hemmer, in you know, not having any expectations for Markelle Fultz and just kind of see where this like all fits is fine. What about Keegan Murray? What is your honest assessment of where Keegan Murray is at this point through the third season of his career?
I don't know. I know this doesn't sound, it might sound like a bit of a cop out, but I kind of feel like he's a victim of circumstance, and this team doesn't have any defensive players outside of him and Keon. And so they asked so much of him. And I thought against the Warriors, I thought he did a tremendous job defensively. I thought he was spectacular on the defensive end of the court. And I thought when he was given an opportunity, he was good on offense too. The problem is, he's not going to get that opportunity unless he demands that opportunity. And he's demanding that opportunity from a bunch of dudes who like their own opportunities. And that's not like easy. I think the real question is, like, how much do you have to pay him? What is his extension going to look like? And I think that's going to be like, that's up for major debate, because his people are still going to say, hey, look, we want a max extension because we think X, Y, and Z. And the Kings are going to say, well, look at the points per game, look at the 3-point shooting being down and all that stuff. At the end of the day, like, I feel the same way I do about Keegan that I did for a long time about Harrison Barnes. Like, you need more Keegan Murrays. You don't need less. And, you know, you need players that do what he does. You need two-way players, guys who can hold their own on both ends of the court. And as of right now, you know, the Kings only have like three or four players that can hold their own, not excel, but at least hold their own on both ends of the court. And that's not a good place to be in. And so I still think he's a valuable member to this team. And, you know, I still think they love what he does. I don't think he's untouchable like he once was. But I also don't think that I think he has more value to the Kings than he does anyone else. And because they don't have anyone else that does what he does. And their salary cap situation is a holy mess now. That's not going to get any better anytime soon. And so you almost have to just, like, whatever it takes to get that deal done, just push your chips in, because that's you're kind of in that situation.
You think rightfully so, they should ask for whatever they want, you know, his side. Do you think he should get the max extension?
I would put him at more of a 4-year between 90 and 100 million. You know, I think he's in the range of Cam Johnson. He's in the range of, I don't know, like there are other players. Like Trey Murphy got a lot more than that, and I don't think that he's kind of put himself in that situation where he's a player like offensively on the rise. Like defensive players make money in the league, but they don't make that type of money. You know, Dorian Finney-Smith, like $13, $14 million a year. Like you make good money as a defender, but it's players that score and defend that actually get the big dollar. And so I it's a tough decision. Like and especially with the other decisions the Kings made this offseason. I mean, this like during the season, like picking up Zach LaVine's contract, that's a big blow to your overall financial situation, your ledger moving forward. And you know, there's gonna have to be tough decisions at some point. And you really don't want to be one of those tough decisions with a young player like Keegan. But that doesn't change the fact that, you know, when you have a guy who's gonna make 46 and 49 million, you got another guy who's going to make 40 plus in Domas, you got another guy who's going to make 25 in DeMar, another guy's going to make 20 in Malik. Like you end up running out of money eventually. And especially if you're going to run out of money and you're going to start paying luxury tax, but your team is not very good, that's not usually a great idea, you know, and you don't want to lock into players that you don't know what their true value is, you know, because one thing, to sign, you know, Keegan Murray, let's say you give him the 4-year, like $118 million deal or 4-year, $130 million deal. Like, can you move on that from that contract after you do that? And are you in a situation where it's kind of like the Tobias Harris contract, where you're just paying a lot for a guy who's a very good player, but he doesn't reach that level that you're paying that money for? And, you know, the Kings, because of their other decisions, have put themselves in a situation where they really can't do that.
James, get out of here. You've got to get to the Golden One Center and go cover this lovely basketball team.
Hooray, 14-win team versus 28-win team.
We got this. We got this, Hammer. Positive vibes. Everything's going to go together perfectly tonight, and Doug's not going to yell at anyone.
See you guys.
All right. James Hamm. You can catch James and Kyle beginning tomorrow at 10 a.m. with the Insiders. It is the Kings and the Hornets tonight. And, you know, DeMar has kind of taken over the role of being the leading scorer for this team in De'Aaron's absence. Everybody else has to find a way to contribute offensively. I'm not going to ask nor expect this team to do anything defensively. Not exceptional defensively. Just be good enough. Be good enough. But you have to be good offensively. Mm-hmm. Your second leading scorer can't have 14 points. And I don't mean that for Doma. I mean that for whoever your second leading scorer is. It can't be 14. Mm-hmm. If DeMar has 34, somebody's, at least one other player has to be in the 20s. That doesn't work. And so this team has to find their way offensively. We've seen games like this one. Again, DeMar DeRozan, you know, 34 points, and then you have a bunch of guys not only in the teens but in the low teens. We've also seen four guys score in the 20s, mm-hmm. and they lose that one too. Yeah. So they've got to – they've you know, it's not fair. It's uncomfortable. You guys got to find a way to get comfortable quick.
Yeah.
That's the only way you're going to be able to salvage the season. And as frustrated or as pessimistic as I might be about the Kings' future, you can still accomplish something this season. Mm-hmm. And you can't do it with the way that you played on Friday, though.
100%, man. And it's easier said than done, but you've got to go out there and, like we keep saying, not be afraid. Don't mm-hmm. be worried about, you know, stepping on toes and all this other stuff. Like, you got to, and maybe that's part of the starters-only meeting that Doug had. It's like, play your game. do what you do,
yeah,
and trust that these guys understand it's not coming from a selfish place. It's coming from a place of trying to win games. If it's the wrong play or, you know, probably one extra, trust that they'll let you know.
Mm-hmm.
They'll let you know. They'll say, hey, on that one, maybe one more here, or let's get on this side and run this pick and roll here or something. Like, you don't have, trust that. Yeah. But don't be afraid to be aggressive.
Yeah.
And I wonder, I don't know, but I wonder if that was kind of what the talk was in there, and also just everybody pick up your game in general. But
yeah, I mean, I think that's an interesting perspective on it too. We know that this wasn't a players only meeting. We know that Doug was a part of it, and sometimes I think you know Doug pulls the starters aside. Boy, I bet he really laid into him. Well, it could also be a thing where the players can get into it a little bit, mm-hmm. like they have an opportunity in a space. To kind of have it out and say what you got to say. And that stuff is needed sometimes. Doug can, you know, use the phrase, there's a different captain. Like, the captain is, he's over here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, these guys, they've got to, they're the ones who've got to execute on the floor.
Yep.
They're the ones clogging up one side of the court, or they're the ones, you know, transitioning to the wrong sides. They're the ones who are, not following through on passes or on pick and rolls or whatever. Like they are the ones who have to work that out on the floor. And sometimes it's as good to, you know, talk to your teammates and have it out once in a while as it is, you know, your coach telling you to do something.
Man, and you know, I really wonder like what the issue is. You know, is it as simple as, you know, just not having the cohesion? Is it a lack of aggressiveness? Is it a lack of belief in what's going on? You know, because I ask that to say, if it's something about like aggression and not trying to step on anybody's toes, like, you know, maybe Doug's alluded to, or, you know, I've speculated, you know, that can be fixed.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that you can improve on. That's something that you can get to the point where your aggressiveness gets where it should be and where you're used to it being. But if it's something where, you know, the trust level, that's going to take a little longer to get to the point where it's that of a top tier team or a playoff team or something like that. And I just don't know I know for a fact you don't have a lot of time to get to that trust level if that's the issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If it's just somebody telling you, hey, we're all telling you, like, go be aggressive, that's why you're here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something you could see as quickly as tonight, you know, change.
What type of aggression do you think they need?
They need...
I can't believe you didn't bite.
Jesse, what type of aggression do they need?
I can't believe you didn't bite. Man, I guess the club soda take has just ruined our...
They need ruthless aggression,
no,
Kenny.
Thank you.
Hey, I need to get back to shooting the ball, man. You know what I'm saying? It's just...
Hey, fit out.
I'm not going to lie, Kenny. We've been kind of teeing you up lately, I feel like. And you've been kind of no-selling all these...
Wait a minute. What have
you know
I missed?
What it is? I think he wants out.
What have I missed?
Yeah, is that what's going on?
I think he wants out. Yeah. He's trying to force his way
that's
to San
the,
Antonio.
I don't know. It's
that's
like when we do the office stuff, now it's like you really miss. Like before, he's like, oh, yeah, I missed. I got that one. Now it's like you just falls flat over your head.
Well, it's because I've seen the office now. I don't. It's not a joke anymore. I've seen everything.
Okay. Who's your favorite character?
Dwight.
What does Dwight look like?
That's good. Yeah, that's a great question. What does Dwight
look like? Dwight?
What, Dwight Howard? What?
Name one accessory Dwight has all the time.
Good call.
Stapler.
A stapler. Right, God damn it.
Maybe this show's not going to last. Who knows?
Unbelievable. That man was really about to give me an answer as to what type of aggression this team needed.
Like we were really talking basketball.
Like Rust Dog asked, does KC want his own show? Well, clearly.
I'm good. I'm good. Where I'm at. What are we talking about?
His way to San Antonio.
Well,
Casey's not requesting a trade. Hey, look, but
I told them.
Jasmine's going to start tweeting.
Well, look.
At Jazzy510, just tweeting like crazy.
I told them when they got rid of PDX, they know where I stood after they know
wow.
where I stood.
Well,
I told them I didn't want another PD. Well, the flip, once you got rid of PDX,
the flip side of that was we knew where Jesse stood if they didn't. Jesse was about to go back to concrete.
That's real right there.
I knew where I stood at that point.
Jesse would have been at my house this morning had they not made the move.
Would have been building D-Lo's pool.
Shout out Premier Pools. Oh, man. God.
Yeah, man. You know, we just.
This show is falling off so bad.
Well,
we used to be great, used to be a contender. Now we just argue about club soda, trash steak, and Casey missing all of my lobs.
Were we just the one beam team here and that was it?
That was it.
Do you.
Now I went from being De'Aaron Fox to Jake LaRavia.
The crazy thing about this is, and I'm not saying it's right, but Kings fans were 3 years ago, like before Beam Team won, hey, you have 500, you got a shot to get into the postseason, they wouldn't be ecstatic. I ain't going to make that argument, but they'd be like into it. Like,
no, absolutely. No, ecstatic is the perfect word. Man, remember Dave Yeager?
Yeah.
People were going crazy.
Dave Yeager won 38 games too, huh?
39. Yeah.
Yeah. And won like four of his last 20.
It's funny. Yeah. Like I was going to say 39, and it didn't feel like they were even remotely close to the playoffs.
February hit, they just fell off a cliff.
The Kings were that Dave Yeager year. That was a positive. Then that 1 year, the league shut down where they could have maybe won some games and got into the bubble or something like that. And then Beam Team 1 year.
Hell, he's a top flight coach. So I'm not trying to crap on him. Mike Malone, what did he ever win here? And people think that's the worst decision ever made.
Well, I think part of it is what he's gone on to be.
Yeah, because he had Jokic.
Well, they almost fired him when he had Jokic.
And that would have been a mistake. Yeah. And even when they were about to fire him, it's because he couldn't get past the second round because he had Jokic.
I'm going to ask you something. I save it for the end of the show, so that way in case you got to...
Oh, it's going to be crazy.
In case you got to duck.
Be crazy.
How much of this is Vivek's fault? And I don't mean right now. I mean the overall... Where this team has been the last decade.
I don't know about actual fault, but you know how I am. His name's on the test. You got to wear it. Like, whatever anybody wants to say, it's fair game because your results are your results. So, like, is it his fault that he trusted Pete D'Alessandro? Is it his fault that he listened to...
Well, he hired him.
Yeah, but once again, like the basketball, everybody said let basketball people do basketball. He hired a basketball guy.
Mm-hmm.
He hired Monty McNair, a basketball guy. There was so many. Get out of Monty's way and let him do what he wants to do.
Do you think he's done that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, to me personally, it don't matter. Like you.
What if
your
we
name
find out
Vivek
drafted Devin Carter?
Oh, brother.
You know what would have, I was thinking about this earlier.
That's one. We're going to hold on to that secret.
You know, that one can't get out.
Yeah. That'll just end the Sacramento Kings as we know it.
You know what would have been great? Remember, I think Biederman did it. Shout out to Chris Biederman for this. Like, as that press conference with Monty was ending, he said, okay, just for the record, whose call was it to fire Mike Brown? It would have been so great if Monty said, Vivek's, and left. Just burn the whole house down on your way out. This is Vivek's call.
Vivek got out.
And then not take any more questions. You just hear Shannon in the background. Okay, that's it.
That's enough.
It's over.
That's enough.
The media team. Objection!
It'll be like the last scene in Any Given Sunday when Pacino goes to the new team and everybody just rushes with the microphones. That's old school right there. They don't know about that. But Yeah, man, to answer your question, I think some people can have an argument towards why he did this or did that, or he's not really that involved. At the end of the day, this is his team, and the record is what it is, and it's falling on hard times. So that's the end all be all.
Maybe next time don't hire two guys from the same interview process.
That baby was cooked.
His baby was crazy. That baby needs to be checked for PEDs.
We talking about the baby race in New Orleans.
I ain't never seen a baby move like that in my life.
That baby was cooking. Look,
you see, they had shirts. That means they've been pimping that baby.
They've been working.
Yeah, they've been pimping that baby right
there. Shout out to my boy A-Rod. Hit that half-court shot. Went like 10K for that young man.
All right, man. Jesse says this show stinks, so it's over. We're heading over to 102.5. We'll see you guys tomorrow here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos Kings! Is still like the beam, man.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.